Biscuit babies, it's biscuit time. It's me, William. How are you doing? Today, we are sitting down with elite ice hockey fight maniac John Searson to talk about some of the guys that have been over there chucking the nucks. And, you know, some of them you'll know of, some of them you might not have. And that's the purpose of this podcast, is to spread awareness, have fun, talk hockey. I'm very excited to talk with John. Before we do that, just got a few reads for you. One being Hairless Ape Conspiracies, the veteran-owned, veteran-operated t-shirt company, who is more than just a t-shirt company. They have an ethos, a way of living, a way of bettering yourself every day. You should go check out their website at hairlessapeinc.com and use promo code BISCUIT10 to save yourself 10% off at checkout. ParkersPlatoon.org. Scott, the Sheriff Parker, and his family have a nonprofit organization to help one veteran at a time. For instance, this weekend in Grand Lake, Colorado, they had a pond hockey tournament, a taco bar dinner. You could meet Riley Cote, Sean Thornton, Scott Parker. If you guys missed it, it's not my fault. I tell you guys all the time to go check out ParkersPlatoon.org because the Parkers are constantly throwing charity events like this on. So if you missed that, not my fault. You're an idiot. Listen to the show. Go visit their website. And also go visit HockeyFights.com. That's HockeyFights.com, where you go to watch Hockey Fights, because we are presented by HockeyFights.com. Before I get into the episode with John Searson, I'd also like you guys to go over to iTunes and not rate and review this biscuit, but somehow there is another show called The Biscuit, and they have like a lowercase b, so somehow they're allowed to operate in the same universe as us. I'm currently going through the legal shit, cease and desist, because I own the name The Biscuit, to shut them down. So go leave them a one-star review and say, change your name, get out. I don't know how iTunes has allowed them to do it, because I own The Biscuit. So have been doing this since 2016. But yeah, they have two episodes out. I'm sure they suck. And I hate their podcast. I hate them. I don't know who they are. But they are ignoring as of right now, so they can't ignore, you know, 1,000 one-star reviews. Then they can change it to Charlotte's Web's fucking book club or whatever the fuck it is. But anyway, not AM's own John Searson.
Now Probert got the right hand free. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nylon, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Columbus, that hurt. It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordy Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky's, the muser Bobby Orr's. Hey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit. The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country, we'll stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, bud.
All right, Biscuit Babies, all the way from Nottingham. The one, the only, the maniac, John Searson, a UK hockey fight fanatic, as I've been told. How you doing, John?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
And as we said, you know, before the show, we're both about 8 beers deep, so this one might get interesting.
I've just got another 4 out of the fridge as I sit down now. So,
well, that's my podcasting rule: is I don't go out. I don't go out to the studio with at least 3 beers. I have to have 3 beers that gets me to the right level. So, cheers, mate.
No worries.
I don't even know what the hell this is. I was out of my regular Labatt's. This looks like a Line and Kugel Snowdrift Vanilla Porter. I'm sure it's piss. But anyway, now you come highly recommended from a buddy of ours, a mutual friend, Scott Ancliffe, who you played hockey with in childhood.
Yeah, I know Scott. He's a good guy. Now I spent a couple of years playing hockey on the same team as him. So he's a good kid.
Now, you used to chuck him a little bit, didn't you?
Not really. I don't know. People say that.
I think I've seen a picture online of you fighting somebody. It wasn't a video, really? Though. It was a good picture, though, man. That's pretty awesome.
I don't know. I was more of a little shit, so I probably got beat up every now and again.
Now, how did you get into hockey being over there?
It was kind of like one of those things. I think I had like the computer game when I was a kid, and always kind of fascinated me. And my dad used to always say he'd take me to a game because hockey's always been quite big in Nottingham. But he never did. But one of his drinking buddies, he was a season ticket holder at the Nottingham Panthers. And I must have been about 13, 14. And just one night he said, oh, yeah, I'll take you next week. And I went with him and then I was hooked after that.
That's, that's when you know. If you go to a live game and you didn't like it, then it's the sport's not for you. But usually you're hooked after that first live event.
Yeah, I loved it.
And who was in Nottingham when you went? Who was playing then?
Say it again, sorry.
Who was on the team back when you went there? Anybody I would know?
Oh, maybe Darcy Lowen. Do you remember Darcy Lowen? He played for Ottawa, NHL guy.
No, I don't.
Corey Beaulieu. I don't know. Back then, I'm talking like the old Super League days, like late 90s. And obviously, nowadays, everybody's heard of everybody because everybody's on the internet.
Right.
So, but back then, we just... It was the ISL, the Super League, so it was an all-import league. So everybody came was like AHL, East Coast League. And it was a really good standard. The hockey was great.
It was all everybody. Imports.
Yeah, all imports. You probably had like four or five British players in the whole league.
Wow. And then what? Some of those teams got absorbed into or when they created the Elite Ice Hockey League?
Yeah, basically what happened... the ISL was just unsustainable. There was just too much money flying around in that league to keep up. I mean, there's rumours of teams paying over £1 million a season on salaries. And the last year of the ISL was 2002, and it was down to a five-team league. And then the owner of Bracknell just pulled out and said, basically, he's not going to bankroll the team anymore. So they were scratching for ideas what was going to happen, and that's where the EIHL came about, where they brought it in and you were still allowed 12 imports, but there's more emphasis on British players coming into the league. So that's how the Super League finished.
And as much as like the import players might have had a better, you know, back then, a better product, I mean, now, though, since there's been ice hockey there forever, it's almost important to have British players in the league.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, for an entertainment standpoint, you just want to see the best on ice product you can.
Right.
But yeah, as a local product, you want to see these guys like you know and you've seen getting a place on the team. I mean, before the Super League, it was the old Heineken League days, and I think back then it was like two or three imports. So everybody on the team was a local, apart from the imports who used to play 60 minutes a game.
Well, I think that's what Cornish was saying the other day. I was talking to him. He played on a team where there was only like four, or maybe it's the team he's coaching now down south that they're only allotted four import players. Which
he's in Streatham now in the NIHL, so I'm pretty sure it's like two imports in that league.
Even less than, and it's like you said, you want to see the best players too, but you also have to be a little bit selfish to keep people interested in England and the surrounding, you know, kingdom, United Kingdom, to build the game there, or they're not going to see, they're going to be like, oh, everyone from Canada just plays in this league. What the hell are we going to play for?
Yeah. I mean, the gulf in standard between the EIHL and the NIHL is massive. Yeah. I think you do kind of need an in-between between the two leagues, but...
Is it that big of a disparity there?
That's a whole other conversation.
So if there's that big of a disparity from, you know, it would even be less than NHL and AHL?
No, it's not even close. It's not even close.
I mean, it's good that it's there, though, to give, you know, English players a place to go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I've seen a few good scraps. I know you said you don't... You know, spend a lot of time on that league because they're what, Southern England? Is that where that league happens?
Yeah, I mean, I live in the East Midlands.
You have to explain. I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's pretty much from the Midlands to the North. I mean, you got some Scottish teams as well in there, but a lot of the teams in the NIHL, they're all the old EPL teams,
right?
So that's very southern based. So I don't like I said to you earlier, we've got a team in that league, but they're not too good. So
so you're
they're not too good, and they don't fight. So I don't watch that.
Yeah, not much reason. They don't win and they don't fight. Yeah, check me out.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I ain't paying for that.
I've seen a few good scraps in that league this year. I think the one was, I want to say Reggie Watt, but maybe that's not the correct first name, but a guy from the...
Ryan Watt?
Yes, and holy
Ryan
shit.
Watt, yeah?
He's got some good tilts, bud.
Oh, you got some kids in that league who can chuck him. I mean, I get Simo, who runs Huggy Fights UK, he sends me some fights in that league, and there's some fucking wild stuff going on there.
But I'm like you. I really didn't know about it until the last year or so. Just for whatever reason, never heard of it. But yeah, there's been some really wild fights and some good, like you said, some boys that can go.
Mm. Definitely.
Now, you went to that game, you know, with your dad's buddy, and you saw Nottingham play. And was there a fight that first night, or did you keep your interest? Or, you know, from playing the video games, you can always fight in it. When did your interest in fighting in hockey becomes a thing?
That first game, it was a pre-season challenge game between the Nottingham Panthers and Troja Lungby. And Troja Lungby was some, I'm sure there was some Swedish team. And basically, the ISL, like I say, we had a full import team just of Canadians, and we beat the shit out of them. it was brilliant. It was great.
And do the crowds get pretty... you know, because you always think of England, you think of, you know, you go soccer hooligans. Do they get pretty... crazy about the teams there?
Yeah, it's got a good following. I mean, it's kind of weird. You go to a game here and there's a fight in the game, everybody loves it. If you go on our forums in this country, like the hockey talk boards, everybody hates it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
What I boil it down to is I think there's 150 people that get on those talk boards, and they all are just don't even actually watch hockey. They just like to bitch.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The talk boards is just a minority, and they're all fucking. I'm sure that it's just a case of they're reading comics all week, and then they go out at the weekend. Oh, yeah. They watch hockey and just fucking ruin it for everybody else. That's basically what happens.
John, how many people do you bump into in your real life going to games or, you know, sitting at the pub that go, oh, this is – fuck this. I don't want to see a fight. This is gross. It never happens.
I don't know one single person.
It never happens.
Does not want to see that as a game.
Dude.
One of my wife's friends, she says to me, oh, I'm going to take my little boy to a game. What game's going to be good? What game is it going to be fights? But then I've got some fucking idiot on an internet forum telling me that 95% of fans don't want to see that. So,
well,
it's stupid.
And I fell victim to reading those things because that's all you ever read about the Elite League was that fighting is brutal. Everybody needs to spend it. I'm like, well, this is shit. But then you look into it and you see some of the guys have been over there and some of the like really good fights and the talented players that have been over there. And you're like, well, that's just bullshit.
Yeah, the tough guy's the most popular player by a mile on every team in the league.
And look at it
every team.
And look at it this year. You have in the Elite League, the fighting major leader is Mark Lewis with 7, and compared to the NHL, that's one more than Mark Borowicki. And as far as teams go, Manchester Storm has 24 fighting major compared to Ottawa Senators who have 19. So if not, they're fighting more now in England than ever before.
No.
No?
Not at all. The league is absolutely brutal this season for fights. Nobody really signed anybody. You had a couple of guys at the start of the year. They brought some rule in this season called the late hit rule where you can't finish a check on a guy unless you're in arm's reach of him, in arm's length of him, when he releases the puck. So now nobody hits either, so nothing gets going. I mean, the prime for fighting over here was probably... Well, the Super League days. So you're probably talking 2000 till we had a drop off in 2010 where nobody really signed anybody.
Yeah.
But then the year after that, every team stacked up again, probably till around 2014. Well, But yeah, it's just dwindled every year since then.
Well, I think that is, you know, maybe I'm mistaken there by comparing it to the NHL, where it's dwindling even more than that, because I did have...
Yeah, nobody fights in that league either.
Exactly. Because I did look up, too, like, there was the max was, like, year 2000. They had, like, 152 fights and 200-and-some-odd games, compared to 2017 last year, 127 fights and almost 400 games. So you're absolutely correct that the numbers show that the fights have gone down. But I was just comparing that to the... It's going out, but we're not here to talk about that. And it seems like 2010 is the cutoff. You know, I've, you know, talked to Fourth Line Voice and other guys. I'm like, what are we considering old time hockey? You know, like, cause I think of like the Broad Street Boys and like the '70s and eighties. And, but I'm way off there, because then you're leaving out, you know, McGrattan and all these boys who definitely are a part of that school. So it seems like 2010 is, The day the hockey died, the hockey fights died.
It's funny you should say that. I remember actually talking to McGrann, and he said to me, because I was saying to him, I was like, hockey's awful these days. There's nothing. And he said to me, he was like, man, this league's still cool. This league happens. And I was thinking, you should have seen it 4 years ago. but yeah, it's, I don't know. I think they're going to kill the league just by getting rid. It's like watching paint dry some of the games. I actually had free tickets to the game in Nottingham tonight, and I didn't even go.
And here you are talking to me. 15-minute
drive away from the rink, and I didn't even go with free tickets because it's that bad.
And the people of that ilk, that you think of fucking boxing, you think of fighting, like that whole area of the world is like obsessed with it.
Oh yeah. Definitely. Like,
Anthony Joshua was a fucking god. We don't give a shit about our heavyweight champion here.
I went to Wembley for Anthony Joshua's last fight. You've got 80,000 people on the feet.
Yeah, the whole fucking country was there.
Fucking hell, you've got 2,000 people in an ice rink. They didn't want to see the fucking fights. It's stupid, honestly.
And and have you been able to meet a lot of the boys over there, going to games and just being involved in the community? I know I saw a picture of your daughter with McGrant, and that's absolutely priceless.
Yeah. What, as in fans? Just as like other fans?
No, any of the players other than like McGrant and some of the guys that have been over there to play, some of the...
I mean, till like the mid-2000s, we used to sponsor a player every season, and we used to always try and get the tough guy when we sponsored.
What does that mean?
So, they offer like a sponsorship, and you pay money, and you get to go to like some like meet and greet nights, and then at the end of the season you get the game one shirt. So you just like, I don't know. It's just like a little bit involved if you know what I mean, but nothing major.
Yeah, that's cool though, man. That you, it's like what, just a, even a more advanced season ticket.
Yeah.
Now. I wanted to get you on here because I'm very ignorant to a lot of the guys that have been over there. I've just really, like, the past few years, and, you know, it's fucking day late, dollar short, but I'm still, thank God to YouTube and, you know, Hockey Fights UK, that you can still go back and watch these and really appreciate them. And a lot of the guys are still in the league playing, too, so you can always, you know, contact them and say, you know, thanks for doing what you do. But I wanted to get you on to really break down some lists for me and kind of give the listeners of the biscuit, who are all degenerate Americans who don't even know shit from anything. So it's really going to bring light to these guys. And I wanted to do, we had a few lists worked out. What's the first list you want to get into?
Yeah. You said to me, can I do a top five?
Yeah.
Well, like I say, I thought I was just going to do this off the top of my head tonight. I was like, yeah, no problem. I actually sat down. And I was thinking, shit, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
So what I've basically done, I've done you a top five of the old Super League, the Olimpo League.
Okay.
I've done you a top five of the Elite League, as it's been since 2004. And then a top five of the NHL, as we've had here. And then just a top five of the guys I've seen play on the team I follow.
I love it, man. Let's start with that. Super League.
The Super League. So at number one, I've got Dennis Vial. Can you remember Dennis Vial?
No. See, this is going to be awesome for me. I'm excited about this.
Well, I tell you what. As soon as you put the phone down to me tonight, YouTube, Dennis Vial versus Rob Ray. He had some wars with Rob Ray in the NHL back in like 92, 93. That kind of time.
I'll do that for sure, man.
And then number two, I've got Dodie Wood.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Dude, I went down a Dodie Wood hole a couple weeks ago. I was sending DMs to Fourth Line Voice at like 3:30 in the morning going, send me all the Dodie Wood fights you got, man. I'm fucking I was like a crackhead, dude. He is so fucking powerful and so entertaining. Just like standing upright, chin out, like, here we go. Let's fucking – I'm a huge fan of his from the Sharks days. Yeah. I guess I didn't necessarily know that he fought in the Super League. The ISL, you say?
In the Super League. He played for us in 2002, which is the last year of the Super League. The year before that, he played in the Ayr Scottish Eagles. He played for them. And you must have seen on YouTube the classic bench clearance between the Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Denny Vial was a main part of that with Barry Nygaard.
Okay.
But after that, because of that brawl, they brought in a rule that the next year, guys could only have six fights, and after six fights, it was a suspension, game suspension for each fight. So they brought in that rule that year. And then the year after, because of the six-fight rule, our coach just fucking laughed in the league's face and stacked the team with heavyweights. That year, we had Dodie Wood, Barry Nygaard, Jason Clark, and then we had guys like Brian Thompson, who could fight as well. It was a great team.
So he was just maxing everybody's getting six fights.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't win many games, but we beat people up. You know what I mean? It was good to watch.
Now, did you get to see Dodie live?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a treat, man. I'm a huge fan of him. He's been over this past few months, you know, on if I'm getting on and watching fights, I usually start with the Dodie Wood. That's a brilliant pick, mate.
Yeah. That first fight with Domi, when Domi was in Winnipeg, was a great tilt between Dodie and Ty Domi.
Oh yeah.
Great tilt.
Oh yeah. So what's that? Number three on the list.
So number three, I've got Paul Cruz. Remember Paul Cruz played for Buffalo?
C is with C-R-U-Z-E?
No, K-R-U-S-E.
Way off, buddy. No.
Check him out.
Dude, I'm gonna have homework after this.
Yeah, make a note of these. Make a note of these. You'll be busy all night.
I can already see the people going, I can't believe you don't fucking know these guys. Fuck the biscuit, this bullshit podcast.
Well, no, they won't be saying that. They'll be like, who the fuck is this drunk English guy you've had on tonight? slurring his way through minor league guys. The number four, I've got Barry Nygaard, which... Well, it's going to be kind of a controversial pick because he was pretty much hated throughout the whole league because he was dirty as shit, but he could back it up as well. And he played for the Panthers, so I loved him.
You have to.
he'd throw an elbow if you weren't looking. He'd cheap shot anybody. He was great. And then number five, I've got a tie between Mike McWilliam and Mike Ware. Did you listen to Darren's interview with Mike McWilliam
on Yes,
Fourth Line Voice?
I sure did, buddy.
Yeah, McWilliam was a fucking scary guy. But I've only got him so low at number five is because the 2 years he played here, there wasn't really a lot of other heavyweights in the league. He dominated the league those 2 years, but he didn't really have much competition. So I'm probably doing him an injustice putting him so low.
But yeah, he's on there, though, man. That's all that matters. Yeah, that... And I highly recommend that interview with the Fourth Line Voice as well. That's a good one.
Yeah, and Mike Ware, have you seen Tough Guys, the documentary Tough Guys?
Yes, sir. Just watched it the other day again because I was bored.
Mark LaForge, he says when they ask him about fights, he said there was a guy that taught him some manners. That's Mike Ware he's talking about then. He brings him up.
No.
But yeah, Mike Ware was crazy.
LaForge bums me out in that documentary, man.
Yeah,
they must have caught him on a bad day, and I forget who I was talking to. It might have been Kimball who said LaForge really didn't. And I mean, obviously by the documentary, really didn't like the role.
No,
so that's clear as day. I actually asked Cornish that. I said, you know, can you prove LaForge wrong? And you know, you're supposed to say you don't like fighting. And, you know, he said, yeah, I loved it. Like, some of the guys absolutely loved it.
I had this conversation the other day with Darren, Four Flying Boys, when I said, do you get many guys who don't want to talk about the fights? And he says, no, everybody's been pretty open with him. But you mentioned Corny there. I mean, we had a player called Ryan Schmeer in Nottingham, and he hated talking about the fights. But you get a guy like Corny, you talk to him, he'll talk about fights all night long.
You can usually tell by like the existing interviews if you want to get a hold of a guy or not, like just by how they ever talked about the role. Like, I'm not chomping at the bit to sit down with Carcillo anytime soon, just because he doesn't really want to talk about it.
Well, he's too busy trying to blame everybody else for the problems that he signed up for. It's right. Probably a controversial statement, but
I just want to have some fun.
He got to make millions of dollars playing a game that's every kid's dream, and he's now complaining about it. I didn't really have a lot of sympathy for that.
Oh, no. So that's a great list, man. I got two guys I got homework on too, man. This is a treat, bud.
And I've also got an honorable mention at the end of that list.
Let's get it.
With a guy you must have heard of, Troy Crowder.
Yeah. Troy Crowder.
He didn't fight over here when he came. He only played a few games for London. But yeah, he watches NHL stuff. I mean, his first fight of the year, his first full season in the NHL, he went to town on Probert.
When somebody comes over like that, are the fans there aware of who they are?
Yeah, the team will hype it up as ex-NHL. The guy could have played two games in the NHL, but the team will hype it up as he was an ex-NHL, or he was a fucking seventh-round pick or something like that. They will hype it up. So, yeah, they'll know those guys. But nowadays, obviously, you've got YouTube, so you can find out who everybody is.
Right, yeah, because I thought if Troy Crowder's coming over, you just put up his fight card and people would be freaking out.
Yeah, well, I think it was 98 when Troy Crowder was here. He only had one fight while he was over here, and it was a bit of a non-event, but the reputation his fight card, he's got to get a mention on that list.
He's a bad mother, man. All right, So now we're on to the top five in Elite Ice Hockey League history.
The EIHL, and number one, I'll probably get a lot of people argue this with me, but I stand by this, is Mel Engelstad.
Ooh, I love it.
I would say, and I'll argue this with anybody, Mel Engelstad is the toughest guy ever who never got a regular spot in the NHL.
Oh, I love it. Dude, that's a fucking great pick. He's a badass.
Yeah, he played there. His first year, he played in Belfast, and his coach was a guy called Tony Hand. And Tony Hand used to always sign a real big-name tough guy, but he used to handcuff them. He wouldn't really let them do anything. One of my friends played for Manchester under Tony Hands, and he said he used to shout at players if he like chirped anybody. He was like, let's not do that, let's just play the game. So literally in Engelstad's first year here, he had like four fights, but then the year after, Engelstad had more fights in pre-season than he did the whole year before. So
setting the tone for the season.
It's not Mel's decision not to fight, you know what I mean? That's on the coach.
Setting the tone, man, that's great. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm a Belfast Giants fan, so I like that one especially.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I just picked...
So that's why you're an Adam Keefe fan.
Oh, for sure, buddy.
Keefe was ace for everybody.
Oh, for an undersized guy, too, he'd go Giants. I mean, he seemed like a fearless fucking guy.
Yeah, he had a great fight in Nottingham with Cam Jansen. Awesome, just went toe-to-toe with Cam Jansen. What surprises me about Adam Keefe, though, since he's been head coach, he's not signed a tough guy.
That's surprising to me as well. I thought for sure once I saw that he was going to be the coach, I was like, okay, floodgates are open, let's do it.
A game last season, our tough guy last year was a guy called Matthew Gagnon.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware of him as well.
Yeah, but Gagnon was running around a bit and taking liberties, pushing guys around, and Keefe was fucking fuming. And literally, you could tell he just wanted to be out there. He had the whole team shying away, just looking at the ice. But then you had Keith in his suit with a foot on the board, screaming at Gagnon. He wanted to be on there.
Gagnon, was it last season, kind of did whatever he wanted to?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Gagnon because he was one of those guys. It's like the code. I hate all this code bullshit. Things like that. The players aren't supposed to be friends. But Gagnon was one of those guys. He wasn't like, oh, yeah, so somebody took a liberty, I'm going to go and fight their heavyweight. Gagnon was a guy, if you pissed him off, it don't matter who you are, star player, young Brit, and thought he'd punch you in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
So he was one of those guys.
He'd be in there in the scrum, kind of nut-tapping you with his stick, saying, you know, let's go, pretty boy. He was he is a nasty dude. But I like you said, I appreciate that style just because I'm watching it, you know, not only because I love hockey, but I also like entertainment. So it is good to see a dude like – he's like a fucking heel.
Yeah, but it's like Zach Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
I suppose I hate Zach Fitzgerald because he played for Sheffield. They're our biggest rivalries. At one point, Fitzy was my favorite player in the league. I fucking loved him. Just his attitude to everything.
Him and Gagnon had some battles.
Yeah, they did. And I tell you what, Fitzy can take a punch. If you watch those, two fights, Fitzy took one. How he stood up from that, I don't know.
I swear to God, he gets knocked out and recovers quicker than anybody of all time, and like doesn't realize and just keeps going. Like it's like lights out, boom, he's back up and like still fighting. And the other guy's like, "Oh shit, this guy's a zombie."
Yeah. Did you see his fight 2 weekends ago against Mark Lewis?
I just watched it today, actually.
Yeah, he got tagged off the square off.
Yeah, yeah. He's an American boy too, Zach, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, he is, yes.
So he holds a special place in my heart, too, being an American, because there's not a bunch of them over there.
Mm. No, well, you had it. There was especially not enforcers. You used to have many.
Right, exactly. The enforcer. Exactly. That's what I mean.
So, where did I get? Number two.
Number two.
I said Mel number one, didn't I? Number two, Brett Cloutier. Have you ever heard of that guy?
No.
AHL guy, played for Binghamton. But he came over and he was tipped as the toughest guy in the league. And yeah, he didn't really do much to disprove that.
Well, hell yeah, dude. That's not. So you said he was played for Binghamton?
Yeah, he played for Binghamton in the AHL. I honestly, off the top of my head, I can't tell you much more than that. Just remember he came here from Binghamton.
Was he with Nottingham over there?
No, he played for Sheffield.
Sheffield, okay.
Yeah, he came to Sheffield, and he was like the first. Sheffield used to do a shitty thing. Well, I thought it was shitty, obviously being a fight fan, but Sheffield used to sign a tough guy, keep him until January, and then release them before the playoff push.
Oh, that's
fucked. Bring in a skill guy.
That's fucked.
Yeah, bullshit.
So he'd get him there and then cut him loose.
Yeah. So, number three. Will be a controversial pick as well, because he gets a lot of heat over here, and but I love the guy and his fighting style. He did lose a couple of fights when he was over here, but his fighting style, you're going to, and that's your guest from the last podcast, Jeremy Cornish.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that fighting style, used to square off right-handed. He'd go for the clinch, switch hands, and start chucking that left.
Oh God, dude!
Guys can't hear that. That's what I mean. Anybody argues with me about this, he's got to go at number three, because Cloutier beat him once, but I think they fought three or four times. And apart from that one fight in Basingstoke, Cloutier always struggled fighting Cornish.
And Cornish was nasty right up to the day he stopped playing. I think one of his last fights, he KO'd a guy and fucking... he was just nasty from the day he started to the day he finished. It was an absolute treat talking to him. Obviously, he's going to be on my list because, you know, I took time and got to actually talk to the guy. He's a real beauty.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Just so entertaining. Cornish was great. Like I was saying, he came over here in 2004, which was the second year of the Elite League, the AHL. And the whole Super League, it was like we had like the big-name tough guys come over. But they was always in their 30s, so they was getting old. They didn't used to fight very often. If something happened in the game, they'd fight. But apart from that, there was nobody was really chasing it. But then Corny was kind of the first guy who came over. He was young. I think he was like 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to fight everybody. So it was just refreshing to see a guy coming over. He's challenging guys every game.
And he's one of them guys that we both appreciate as well, who, you know, he's not sitting down having a beer with you afterwards. He hates your guts until the end of the year. And, you know, he's got third most, you know, and this stats as of 2014, I think, I got off Drop Your Gloves, the third most fights in Elite League history. So you can't really leave him off.
You say he's not having a beer after the game. Funny story. Again, about Cloutier. me and Paul, who runs Hockey Fights UK, we went to a game in Sheffield. It was a pre-season game between Sheffield and Manchester. And Manchester had signed Brett Clouche that year. Again, Tony Hamm, that coach, I was saying, handcuffs everybody. He signed Clouche the next year. And it was in warm-ups. We were just watching warm-ups. And just out of nowhere, just seen Coney screaming at Clouche. And then nothing happened in the game. There's no fights or anything. And me and Paul, we met Coney after the game. And I said to him, I was like, oh, yeah, saw you screaming at Clouche in warm-ups. What was that? And Coney just turned around and went, the guy asked me if I had a good summer. He was like, I don't want to be friends with these guys if I've got to fight them. So, yeah, you've got to love that attitude.
Yeah, and it might be controversial because he didn't win all his fights, but nobody wins all their fights. But the dude fought over 200 times professionally, and like I said, third most in that league. So it's like, how the fuck do you leave him off? You can't.
No, yeah, you can't. Like I say, watch any of his fights that always entertain him, wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you fight like that, you're not going to win them all.
Absolutely. Number four.
Adam Stefanchuk.
I've never even heard that name through my ears before.
Really? He played in Sorrel in the LNEH. Played ECHL. Tough guy.
Well, yeah, if he
had
played
a huge square head.
If he played in that league, they most had square heads up there.
Yeah, he was dangerous when he squared off. You see guys get caught with a shot off him when they come in for the square off. Yeah, he was just a bad guy. He used to throw with bad intentions. And when I say he played in the LNH, there's actually a clip from 04-05. It was in the playoffs. Sorella at home against Tetford Mines. And it's the first face-off of the second period. This game's going to eliminate Sorella out of the playoffs if they lose. They're down 4-0 at the start of the second period. Sorrell shut the tough guys out, and the Tetford Mines coach had some fucking retarded idea that if he puts his star players out, they won't fight.
Oh, nah, God.
It just turned into the most one-sided brawl you've ever seen.
Oh, God.
I actually asked Stefan about that, and he said the owner came in at the end of the first period and said, and just chucked an envelope down in the middle of the changing room with a pile of money in and says, we're going out, make the home fans happy, start a shit show. That was their instructions.
That league
but
is...
But that was what that league was like back then.
Yeah, that league is something else. You hear the stories of that league, and that documentary doesn't even touch. I mean, it's absolutely the Wild West.
Yeah. I actually went over to Montreal a couple of times and saw a few games in that league.
I saw that, so, that you said you'd seen Bossy fight over there.
Yeah, I saw a Bossy fight Brad Lambert in it was the 04-05, so the lockout year. And obviously because the Canadians weren't at home, Verdun played a few home games at the Bell Centre. So yeah, I saw one of those, and then I saw another game at the old Verdun Auditorium, which little old shithole rinks. You got to love them. The benches are facing each other, so guys can just chirp each other like that. You've got to love those.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome that you got to see Bossy fight, man. That's incredible.
Mm. I mean, Brad Lambert was tearing the league up that season as well.
Oh, yeah.
Massive reputation. He was only a young kid. And then, I might be ignorant saying this. I may be wrong, but not a lot of people had high opinions of Bossy before that game. And then Bossy TKO'd in that game, and he was the hero in Verdun after that.
Yeah, man. He gets a bad rap, but Bossy's a fucking good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, scary.
Very, very scary. Very scary. Number five.
Is a guy which I was never really a big fan of, but from what he did fight-wise, you can't deny, and that's Paxton Schulte.
Yes, okay. Now, see, I don't know a lot about this guy. I just know that he fought a bunch, and he's up there in the Elite League numbers, and I know he's in a few lists of, like, most hated guys, too. But I don't know much about him.
Like I say, I wrote these lists out. I was watching the Flyers Edmonton game earlier, so I had to do something to keep me occupied because that was boring as shit. I wrote this out, and I rang Paul, the guy from Hockey Fights UK, and I was like, I've made a list. Can I just run this through? Just tell me if I forgot anybody. Because that guy, Paul Simpson, he knows his shit about all this.
Yes, he sure does.
He's one of the most knowledgeable fight fans I've ever met. And I said, I've put Schulte at the bottom of the AHL list. And he went, well, he only played 1 year. And I said to him, I was like, but I left him off the Super League list because obviously he'd been in Bracknell since 98. But yeah, he was just one of those guys I was never a fan of. We had a pretty good rivalry with the Giants in 02-03. So Shorty was kind of like I said, that was that year we signed that team and just stacked him out of heavyweight. So Shorty was kind of the victim because he got chased around every game.
He only played 1 year in the league?
In the AHL, he was in Bracknell from '98, and then he went to Belfast in 2000. So he played ISL, but as far as like the EIHL, he was only in the EIHL for 1 year.
Oh no, shit!
But he'd been in the UK for years, so he probably should have made my ISL list, but huh. He didn't. That's why I took him on the EIHL one.
Oh yeah, now there's a few dudes that I want to run by and just get your taste on this that I had in my top five.
Okay.
The one we talked about a little bit earlier is Brad Voth.
Brad Voth. Yeah, Brad Voth. If you had Brad Voth on your team, you'd love him.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you'd hate him.
He was just always down to go. I just appreciate his style of being out there, and it didn't matter when, what time.
He was fucking dangerous.
Yes, he's very dangerous.
Yeah, he used to KO guys with hits.
Mm-hmm.
But that was okay back then.
Yeah.
He was awesome. He wasn't a great fighter. He was always kind of like a try and hold on guy. But yeah, he fought everybody. You can't deny that. But yeah, he used to frustrate players.
Yes.
I imagine if you did a poll with... if you took 10 tough guys out of the league who played the same years as Brad Voth, I can't imagine many would say they was a fan of Brad Voth.
And another one who gave Cornish some fits would have been Andre Pyatt.
The Wild Thing.
Yes.
Pyatt was brilliant. I mean, we had Steve McKenna play for us. He came over in the NHL lockout, and I think he came over expecting it to be a holiday camp. He used to just skate around all game with a big smile on his face. And he actually fought Pyatt twice, but that was just because Pyatt was running around so bad.
He
had to do something.
He was a pest, but a pest who would answer it.
Yes. Oh, no, yeah. Well, Pyatt was tough as well, though. Pyatt could fight.
Absolutely.
Loved Andre.
Absolutely.
When Andre finished in the Elite League, he coached a team called the Sheffield Steel Dogs in the EPL. And YouTube some videos from the EPL when Pyatt was the coach. That team, you had line brawls. Every game would be like four fights.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a spectacle. So you'd have the Wild Thing coaching his team, going out and starting shit against another team from somewhere. It was just a bunch of Brit kids just enjoying the game. Didn't know how to handle that.
And there's three Americans I have to mention, because like I said, there's not a lot of them over there, and even less that did the role. You know, we had mentioned Zach Fitzgerald, Matt Nickerson.
Matt Nickerson. Nickerson was ace.
Just a beauty. Big old monster. Fucking had the haircut, had the attitude. Was in Belfast. I love that guy.
Yeah, well, Nickerson, his first year, he came to Fife. His first and second year, he was in Fife. And, I'm probably going to lose you some followers here, because I'm just going to say, Fife fans are the worst. They're the worst. When it comes to toughness, all you get off them is, we're not signing a tough guy because it's not the Fife way. You're just like, shut the fuck up, just enjoy the game. But yeah, they got Nickerson. And... you look at his stats, it's like he played some ECHL. He was on the same team as Jeremy Leblonsky in the ECHL, and they caused some shit together.
And he's,
but then he went elsewhere in Europe and kind of
say, he's
like fizzled off.
He's in Finland or something now, isn't he?
Yeah. He got released from, where was he? Milton Keynes. But yeah, when he came to Fife, I wasn't really expecting much, because like, you look at his fight card, and he'd been in Europe for a few years previous and not really done anything. But then yeah, he got to Fife and he fought everybody. So
Maybe he's taking that out of his game, and that's because if you go to Finland, you're not looking to get in too many fights, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. We didn't really have an out-and-out tough guy the year before. We had Jansen. We had a year where we didn't really have anybody. And Nickerson ran the show whenever he came to Nottingham. And then the next year, he was in Belfast. And we'd sign Cam, and Cam used to chase him around all the time. That's when Cam, fought Adam Keefe.
Oh, okay.
Nickerson, for some reason, I don't know why. Don't doubt his toughness or anything. I don't think it's anything like that. But for some reason, he didn't feel it was right to fight Cam at the time. But yeah, Cam chased him around. And,
so Keefe went him, huh?
yeah. Keefe went twice.
A guy who I'm absolutely in love with was just watching a ton of his fights earlier was Jake Doty.
Jacob Doty. We had Doty in Nottingham at the start of this season.
He's a fucking animal, ain't he?
Yeah, and it's bullshit as well. But this Jacob Doty is a victim of this bullshit late hit rule that they brought in this season.
Is he?
Because, we released him.
From what, he got suspended and they just cut him?
No, he never got suspended, but he just had no takers. And Doty's game was he runs around. But the league brought this bullshit rule in, where you can't finish a hit on anybody. So it's like you go two goals down, send Doty out. Doty, a challenger guy. Nobody wants to know. So what else can Doty do? He's got to run around a little and finish a hit. So he finishes one hit. The referee gives him the benefit of the doubt. He finishes the second hit. Arm goes up. It's a penalty. And it was sad. I love Doty.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. That's for damn sure. I really enjoy watching, him on the ice. I'm a big fan of his.
Did you see his fight with Jay Rosehill from last season?
Yes, I sure did.
That was exciting.
Yeah, there were some fists thrown in that one.
Yeah.
They were going, man.
We talked about Gagnon earlier. Gagnon caught Doty with one last season. I think he knocked two of Doty's teeth out last season. That was a quick but brutal one.
I think Gagnon has no problem just grabbing on and throwing it with anybody.
Gagnon's an animal. He doesn't really have a style. He just drops the gloves and tries to hurt somebody. That's pretty much all he had.
Now,
but yeah,
there was a time when some guys had to come over from the NHL during, either lockouts or, maybe coming over at the twilight of their careers. Who are your top five NHL guys to come over and play?
Okay, number one, I've got Brian McGrann.
Have to, right? Has to be.
Yeah. We got McGrann in Nottingham. It was the year after Cam. And I think a lot of people in Nottingham was underwhelmed by McGrann because they was expecting another Cam. But they're two completely different players. I mean, Cam used to just run around and hit anything.
Yeah.
Where McGrann's not got that style. I mean, shit, thinking now, if Cam would have 2,000 penalty minutes if he played the way he did this year with the late hit rule because he used to just run guys. But yeah, McGrann couldn't really find any takers.
Oh, I don't blame him.
His first fight, he fought Erik Nielsen.
Okay. I'm a big Nielsen fan too.
Yeah, Erik Nielsen was ace. McGrann actually got a lot of shit for that fight because they squared off and both wearing visors. And Nielsen dropped the lid, but McGrann didn't. And he took a lot of shit for that. I don't really know why.
I wonder why.
But a guy like Brian McGrann, you can't question that.
He probably fucking forgot he had it on. He's probably so mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's definitely got to be number one. That's a given.
Yeah, but number two is a tie, and that's fucking close when you hear these names. So I've got number two, which is a tie between Eric Cairns and Wade Belak.
Ooh, I like that.
And they, if you've not seen it before, again, Hockey Fights UK's got this up. There was a bench clearing brawl between Coventry and London. And it kind of fizzles out just because Cairns and Belak dropped the gloves and everybody's more concerned about watching those two fight and they have an absolute war.
Right. Yeah, that's where it's like, okay, none of us are doing anything more entertaining than what's about to happen.
Yeah. And that's what fizzled it out. But yeah, that's a great scrap. Cairns actually took a pretty big suspension in that game. And this was the build-up to the bench clearance because the refereeing over here is awful. If you talk to any of the imports out of this league, they'll tell you the referees are terrible. And Kinsey was just getting a bit frustrated with the ref and disagreed with the decision and ended up shooting the puck at the ref. And so, yeah, he got a game misconduct.
Are the refs imports or are they all English boys?
No, all English boys.
Okay.
All English boys. So you've got Cairns trying to get at the ref being held back. And then on his way off, he just started a shit show. And that's how he ended up fighting Bielak.
That's a fucking brilliant number two, man. I love that pick. And Bielak, Bielak was running shit.
Have you not seen that? Check that out. Google that.
And Bielak was running shit for a while over there.
Bielak wasn't particularly busy. I don't think he was looking for fights, but he wouldn't say no if they came.
Damn right.
I mean, Corny fought him twice. I think the first one in London, Corny kind of jumped him, made him mad. And then they had a pretty good fight, and then they fought again in Coventry. And he cooked Cornish pretty good in the fight in Coventry.
That'll happen if you go away sometimes.
If you're going to chase what you be like around, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you might be prepared. that's a good one, man.
Yeah, then number three, I've got Cam Jansen.
Love it.
He played for my team, and he was just pure entertainment.
He loved it over there.
Yeah.
I got to talk to him, and he speaks very fondly of his time in Nottingham. It's good to hear. And
yeah, I mean, the fans loved him here.
And like you said, he's got that style of fly around, fuck around, who wants some, let's go. You can't – if you watch Cam Jansen, you can't not love him. He's just the best, especially if he's wearing your sweater.
Yeah, I mean, I keep telling you to watch these clips if you can remember this one. Google, the Nottingham Panthers put highlights of games. It was the Challenge Cup semi-final second leg against Sheffield, and Cam comes out in his first shift. And he just finishes three massive hits, one after the other, and then goes off for a change. And like the fans are going wild. he fought Fitzy later on in that game as well, which was another good one. They had a real good rivalry together. I think they played once against each other and nothing happened. But then after that, it just seemed every game they'd drop them with each other.
Yeah, Cam is he's definitely deserving of number three. That's for sure, man.
But that's it. A lot of the NHL guys we get over here. They're kind of like they've done their stuff. They're winding down. But Cam played every shift for the Nottingham Panthers like he was still playing fucking St. Louis. You know what I mean? He was still that guy.
Oh, he was still fucking red blooded, man. He was just trying not to take a year off.
Yeah. I mean, he got a little bit of heat at the start of the season because I think I may be completely wrong here. I think he played like the first five or six games and nothing happened. And people was questioning like, oh, well, we've signed Cam Jansen. When are we going to see this? What we're getting on all the highlight videos. And then he went like four games in a row where he fought somebody. And that was it. He was on a roll after that.
Hell yeah, man. Number four.
Chris McAllister.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, he played 1 year over here, played for Newcastle.
Okay.
He didn't fight a great deal, but just reputation alone, he's a big, tough guy. I mean, I'm a Flyers fan, so I remember him from being in Philly.
Oh, you probably love watching the Flyers this year, huh? All them fights?
It's fucking ridiculous. How do you go on a 10-game losing streak and nobody fights? What's going on there?
I'm not sure they've ever been the softest team in the league until now.
Oh, they're brutal. Like I said, I watched the game tonight, and Gudas pissed Cassian off. And so Cassian, we chase him around, but you've literally just got nothing. and they're set to lose Simmons and Gudas this year. So without those two, they really have absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting there. You can have Carter Hart all you want, but losing Simmons and Gudas, you're taking away the last bit of teeth you had.
Yeah. I mean, I said to you, I was like, I don't want to talk about modern day NHL. I know nothing about that. Literally, I had to fly his games on because my little boy, he loves hockey. He's always got a stick in his hand. So I'm trying to bring him up right and get him to be a Flyers fan. So if it's an early face-off, we've always got the game on.
That's awesome, man.
But yeah, it just depresses me.
So number five, right?
Steve McKenna. Okay. And again, it's not from his time for what he did when he was here. It's just past reputation. I mean, he was a legit heavyweight But like I say, he came over here and I think he thought the league was going to be a holiday camp. He skated around with a smile on his face all the time. He fought Andre Payet twice and before he spoke about him, but there was a brawl in London when Corny drags him out of the pack and Corny starts unloading those lefts on him. So that there. It wasn't a holiday camp anymore when Jeremy Cornish grabbed hold of him.
Now, there's a few names I want to hit you with here. One is, like you said, the reputation thing would be Wes Grath. I know he didn't go a bunch over there, but from what he did over here in the States,
Kevin Westhoff was legit.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I think this is too many beers now, but I'm trying to think. He did have a great fight. He didn't fight a lot over here, but he did have a great fight with somebody. And off the top of my head, I'm trying to think who it was. He was a good player in this league. Like Bissonnette. When Bissonnette came over, he racked the points up.
Yeah, when he was in Cardiff, he was a fucking all-star.
Yeah. He always says on Spitting Chicklets.
Yeah.
I was lighting up Cardiff. That's all you hear from him.
Yeah. But yeah, Wes Grath, I think, after the Gazik fight, he was a little bit different. But I still think, you know, without mentioning being over there, I'd be remiss. Another guy, Jim Vandermeer.
Jimmy Vandermeer, like I say, a Flyers fan. I remember Vandermeer. All the Vandermeers are tough. You had Peakers. Because I was a Phantoms fan as well, so yeah, I remember Pete from playing for the Philadelphia Phantoms. But yeah, Vandermeer, he's another guy. He's just here to play the game. But yeah. You piss him off.
Yep.
You piss him off, and he'll let you know.
Yeah, it's one of them things. Like, you know, he might have been a little later, but exactly. You didn't want to go Vandermeer. That's for sure. He'd remind you why he was Jim Vandermeer.
Yeah, he had a fight with McGrattan in Nottingham, so if you've not seen that, check that one out.
Yeah, that's a great one. And then last one from my NHL list of guys who played over there. This guy did some work over there, Jay Rosehill.
Jay Rosehill.
Oh, God, dude, I fucking love that dude. His fights are just pure entertainment.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, another Flyers fan, another guy I remember from the Flyers.
Yeah.
Rosehill was a victim of the officiating over here as well. He took some... bullshit suspensions.
I could see that.
there was one. I think he threw a stick when he went. He got tossed out of a game for nothing, and then he stepped off the ice and threw his stick. And I think they gave him like fucking 5 games or something for throwing his stick off the ice.
Yeah, that's baloney.
Like I said, I may be completely wrong there. Just drunk and hating the modern game might be a fictional story, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember something like that.
So that would be my guys to add to your list there. And then the final list here is just 5 guys that you just loved watching. Or maybe honorable mentions, I guess we could call them.
Yeah, well, I've got a list of guys that's played for the Nottingham Panthers over the years.
Okay.
Who I liked. Number one, I'm going to say Jared Zakuski. I don't expect you to have heard of that guy before. He played for the Panthers in 98, and that was my first year where it was a real interest, and I was at every game.
Well, that'll do it.
And that year, we'd signed Darcy Lowen and Corey Beaulieu, and they was tipped as our tough guys. But then we signed a 5'10" guy who played in Italy the season before, Jared Zakuski, and he literally fought everybody. Everybody apart from McWilliam. He didn't want any part of McWilliam. But yeah, he was just pure entertainment. Then number two, I've got Ryan Schmier.
Oh yeah, I know that name.
Yeah, I mentioned Schmier earlier and I was saying he was a guy who if you spoke to him, he never wanted to talk about fighting or anything. He always brush it off.
That's right.
Which, you got to respect that. He used to ask me for DVDs of players when he was first new in the league. And that's kind of a funny story. Because when Corny was playing in the league, he used to speak to him quite regularly. And he had DVDs and stuff. And I remember saying to him, oh, Schmier's asked me for a DVD. And Corny said to me, don't give him anything. Don't give him anything until after Saturday. I don't want him to see what I'm like. Schmier, what I liked about him was just he knew his role. It was like if you went 2-0 down, you could guarantee Schmier was going to come out next shift and fight somebody. Yeah, you knew it was going to happen. Number three, I've got Ruben Endor. Have you heard that name before? He played for the Rangers.
Rumen
Endor, the Nigerian Nightmare.
That sounds familiar, but I'm gonna have to look that up. It sounds super familiar, though.
Yeah. He had a bit of a stint in the NHL. Another guy.
The nickname sounds familiar.
Yeah, he wasn't the best fighter or anything, but he was just another one. He knew his role. He had injury problems when we had him, so he didn't play that regular. But when he was playing, yeah, he knew what he had to do. He always protected the team. He was just fun to watch. Then number four, I've got Bruce Richardson.
I don't know Brucey. Before? I don't know Brucey.
Bruce Richardson, check out that guy. He's like 5'8", dirtiest player you'll ever see.
I love it.
I don't remember him winning a fight, but yeah, he'd fight.
Sounds
anybody.
Like me.
He'd fight anybody. He used to piss everybody off, and he'd fight anybody.
Oh shit.
My dog, I've got a dog. My dog's actually called Bruce after Bruce Richardson. And then number five, I've got Clayton Norris. Clayton Norris played a year in Nottingham. He was just a mean old school guy.
Nice.
Mean old school defenseman.
Now, there's just a few other guys here that I have listed that, you know, maybe you'll touch on them. And,
yeah, go ahead.
The one is Jeremy Cornish brought him up, and I've been diving into him and becoming a big fan, is Paul Ferrone.
Paul Ferrone, little guy.
He's a pretty. He's got some bite to him. I've been digging his fights. Cornish said how nasty he was, so I've been digging him late the last few days.
Yeah, well, I mean that team Corny played on in Newcastle was ridiculous. I mean, you had Corny, you had Ferrone, and then you had Payet as well, all on the same team together.
That's a team. That's a tough team.
But yeah, Ferrone was one of those guys. When he was over here, I think he was kind of like coming towards the end of his career. So he didn't fight that often. Mm-hmm. But if you do see the fights he had when he was here, he either wins in a big way or it's a war to a draw. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those.
A guy who's just been coming on my radar, mainly from last year, Garrett Klotz.
Klotz. Yeah, I like Klotz. He had a great fight with McGrattan in Nottingham.
Yeah, his fighting style I really dig.
Well, yeah, he's just an old balls to the wall kind of guy.
Yes.
You've got to like that. I miss guys like that. But yeah, Klotz was ace. Like I say, I was an old Phantoms fan, so I remember him when he was playing at the Spectrum with Philly. Klotz is a fun guy.
A guy who didn't win a bunch of fights, not the biggest guy in the world, Scott Allison.
Again, I love Scott Allison.
I do too.
Yeah, Scott Allison played for Sheffield for a number of years, and then his last year in the UK, he played for Nottingham. And Scott Allison was just one of those guys where, again, he'd fight anybody.
He's a gamer.
He wasn't necessarily going to win, but he'd fight anybody.
He's one of them guys you watch, and like you said, you don't even really care if he's going to win. You just appreciate him. You just like the guy.
Yeah. Funny story about Scott Allison. If you look it up on the internet, you'll find it. Obviously, you've heard of Link Gates, haven't you? You must have heard of Link Gates.
Yes.
Yes. If you look at like the myths of Link Gates, there's a story up there because Scott Allison was a first-round pick. And he played in Cape Breton. And apparently he was playing cards on the bus with Link Gates. And Link Gates punched him on the bus for cheating at cards. And then Dennis Bonvy fought Link Gates in the car park after because Scott Allison was the number one pick.
Oh, my God. That sounds like that's real.
Just great little stories. You don't get that in hockey anymore.
I actually took a picture of my daughter. And she's got this like blonde mullet coming in because she's 18 months old. And she, had like a black eye from just like running into shit from being a little kid. And I was like, God, she looks exactly like Link Gates. Like I took a picture and put it on Instagram. I was like, she's turning into Link Gates. So if she still has the mullet come Halloween time, I know Halloween's not big over there, but I'm gonna get her a little Sharks jersey.
Just get a San Jose jersey and send her out.
Yep. the last one I had on my list, and just a real tough son of a bitch, Kevin Bergen.
I was going to mention Kevin Bergen earlier.
He's a tough motherfucker, man.
Yeah. I was drunk a few nights ago, and I sent a message to Paul from Hockey Fighters UK. It was like 2 a.m, just saying, looking back, Kevin Bergen was fucking ace. That's all the message said. And, yeah, he was. He's like, we signed him when we had, I'm trying to think of the coach's name. Anyway, it was whoever was before Corey Nielsen. We signed Bergen that year, and he didn't really do a lot. And then Corey Nielsen came as the coach, and he said, we've re-signed Bergen, but Bergen's been told we expect more this season, and we expect him to step up. And that year, Bergen fought loads. But yeah, he took on anybody.
Yeah, and he was fun to watch, took on anybody, super tough guy. Really,
he could play too.
Yeah, really, yeah, he's just a... if you're thinking, if I'm signing guys to a hockey team, I'd love to have Bergen on my team. I'd love him.
Yeah, he fought Morrow a couple of times off the opening face-off. And that was the year Belfast signed Sean McMorrow. And that's when I was saying 2010 when it kind of dropped out.
The year of hockey
nobody
guy.
Else in the league signed an enforcer. And then the Belfast Giants announced Sean McMorrow, and he just ran around in the league for a year.
Well, John, dude, this is a real pleasure, man. I learned a lot. I got some guys a list of homework to do, which always excites me, man. And I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's getting later over there. Well, you have 5 hours ahead of me or 6 hours ahead.
Yeah,
so
five past 12 now.
Sorry, you're a Flyers fan. That sucks. But, you know, it's onward and upward.
Well, I had to pick somebody when I first got into hockey.
That's right, man. Tell the listeners where to find you. You're a good follow on Twitter. I know you got an Instagram. You're not too active on there, but definitely follow John on Twitter. What's the address there?
On Twitter, it's at CO49. So SEAO49.
Hell yeah, man. If you ever make it over the States, give me a holler, dude. We'll crush some beers.
Yeah, definitely. I come to the States most years. I've actually... Where you are? Ohio, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I've actually been to Ohio before.
Where at?
I went to a place called Garrettsville.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I flew into Cleveland, and I went to a music festival at Nelson Ledges in Garrettsville.
With the, are you a hippie?
But no, I kind of don't want to say. I'm already going to be hated as the drunken fight fan. No, I used to be a big fan of the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, shit! Was it the Gathering?
They do a festival every year. And yeah, that year in 2003 was at Nelson Ledges.
You went to the Gathering?
Yeah, I've been to the Gathering twice.
No fucking way.
Yeah, serious.
Whoop, whoop. Dude, no fucking way. You're a juggalo?
Yeah, I got a hatchet man tattooed on my leg.
No fucking way. Oh, holy shit, dude. You're my favorite person on the planet. Oh, my God.
I thought I was going to get shit for that.
Oh, shit, dude. You'll get shit for it for sure, but I love it, man. Be you. Fucking. I always love a good juggalo, man.
They toured last year in the UK. Last year. It was 2017. It's the first time they've been over since 2003, and I actually worked on the tour.
Oh, so, yeah, my God. I know that fucking thing has been in Ohio a bunch of times.
Yeah, it was there for like the first few years.
Now it's in Michigan again, I think.
Yeah. I think it's in Indiana this year. They just announced where it's going to be this year. I think it's Indiana.
Our buddies in King 810 played it a few years ago, but no one had made it up to go to it. I wanted to just go to see the fucking freaks walk around, dude, drinking.
Yeah, you will see that.
I always tell my buddies, I'm like, well, dude, nobody's happier than a fucking juggalo, man. They don't give a shit, dude. Like, they know the music sucks. They don't give a fuck. Like, they're just having fun.
It's because they got nothing else to worry about. Say that funny story. The first year I went to the Gathering was 2002, and there used to be a website called CanadianJugglers.com.
Oh my God!
And they'd been given a stand at the Gathering. It was an indoor event. It was the last indoor one, and I went over, and they just had monitors set up showing hockey fights.
No shit.
And, yeah, and the guy just said to me, "Hey, I'm from Canada. What else do you want me to show?"
Oh, dude, that is amazing. Yeah, prepared to get fucking shit on Twitter for being a fucking juggalo, though. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. People didn't hate me before. They hate me now.
Oh, shit, dude. Well, again, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it, bud.
Problem.
And we'll have to chat again sometime, buddy.
Yeah, definitely. And I hope it wasn't too bad.
No, it was amazing, man.
Okay, you take care.
All right, you too, bud.